In this week's County Dentist podcast, we speak to Angie Harmon, MBE, about peer listening, amongst other things. Angie, why don't you introduce yourself?
Thank you. Yes, I'm Angie Harlman, previously known as Angie McBain to some people in the profession. I'm a registered dental nurse. I have got 40 years' experience in the profession. I want to make this quick. It's quite difficult when you're old like me. I have experience in clinical dental nursing, primary and secondary care, worked in general practice, worked in oromaxillofacial and orthodontics. I have a special interest in dental sedation nursing, education mentorship, and equality, diversity, and inclusion. And yes, I was awarded an MBE for services to dental nursing in 2012. I'm a past president of the British Association of Dental Nurses, and some of my past work has been in roles in dental workforce development for Health Education England, as it was then, and the programme lead for dental nursing at Barnfield College in Luton, which I did over 12 years. My current roles, I'm the Director of Dental Nurse Education for Antwerp Dental Academy, which is part of the Antwerp Dental Group based in Cambridge. And I'm also Head of Health Inequalities and Inclusion at Bedfordshire Hospital Trust. I am a GDC Council member. What I want to say today is I come here as me. I am not talking on behalf of Antwerp Dental Group, the General Dental Council, or Bedfordshire Hospitals Trust. I'm here to talk about the things that mean a lot to me. So I like to put that out there just to make sure you know where I'm coming from. And that's me.
That's a very long and illustrious career, and thank you for clarifying your roles and your reason for being here. So, as you and in your perspective and in your opinion, the dental profession is very stressful, and there's all sorts of stories in the news about stress and burnout and that kind of thing. Do you think the profession does enough to care for the health and well-being of its members?
Well, the system is under stress. We know that. There's enough data out there to prove it. There's enough articles, like you see, and the world is a stressful place. More so right now than ever. I personally feel we lack compassion for our fellow humans at a global level, as we can see in the news every day. We have the challenges of social media, how the language we use, what language is acceptable or not. How some people perceive the world and how they actually talk about other people. Unless we learn to practice calm and look after our health and well-being, and that means our physical and mental health. How do we move forward as a profession? We can't ignore how the system is right now, and that's a multifaceted problem. But what I want to talk about more is about us as people. So, first of all, I would say we could do more for our profession. We have got things out there, professional organisations. There's a lot of self-help stuff out there, looking further than our dental profession, if you like. That's why Canny Dental here, and we know this is a platform that we can utilise to help us. I would say the first thing is we got to look at ourselves. The first thing is ourself, reflection and work-life balance. Work-life balance is always a challenge in dentistry because we have patients to look after, we've got a service to run, we have got people to see all the time. But if you are not well, how can you treat your patients well? How can the service we provide be good? So I think that's our first port of call. Think of ourselves. We have a professional responsibility to ourselves and to our patients. And also to the rest of the team that we work in. So first self, then our whole team. Support your peers, look out for people, because again, we have a duty of care to the public, the patients that we treat, that everyone in the team can do their job well. Then you think of the setting where you work. There's a lot of services. So for example, if you're a dental nurse in Max Fax in a general hospital, you will have access to freedom to speak up guardings, peer listening. You all have access to services outside the trust where you can speak to people in confidence. Some people in dentistry have done this, and this is where my experience comes in with Antwerp Dental Group. We had a forward-thinking clinical director who could see the need for this for the team that we have in our organization. So we have that opportunity in some organizations and some settings to access that kind of care, but not everywhere. So there are professional organizations that offer things. Now, the BDA offer well-being services on their platform to their members. But as we know, not all of people in the dental profession are members of professional organizations. And I think that if we can use Canny Dental in a way that allows people who don't happen to be members of professional organizations or with professional organizations, we could have a wonderful place for people to come and find a safe space to share how they're feeling. And that's what I do in the peer listening service that I provide on behalf of Antwerp Dental Group. One of the things I'd like to say about our profession, I think we need to change our culture. Well, what I can see in the jobs that I do is the challenges, not only in dental, but in healthcare across the board. I work in primary and secondary care. We do not value part-time work. Now, I know, for example, as a GDC registrant, that the GDC have just done research and they've done about workforce, and it's going to be published, and they're going to do it for DCPs as well. And 42% of our profession work under 30 hours a week. What does that tell us? But yet I see experience of people saying, I went for a job, I wanted to work part-time, and they said, no, they can't take me on. We've got to think differently. Our profession has got to think about how we have got more women in our profession. We've got childcare. We've got things where people want more work-life balance. So I honestly feel that let's think differently. I have worked part-time in various jobs since I went back to work after I had my children. It has never stopped me building a career. It doesn't affect how my brain works, my decision making, and I stand by that wholeheartedly, that we really, really need to think about how we do this. There's nothing wrong with working part-time. It doesn't mean you don't care about your patients, where you work. It means you want to balance your working life and your home life. So that's one of the things I think our profession really has to think about.
Okay, that's an interesting point. I mean, because we always hear about the recruitment crisis in the profession. You also mentioned there your work about peer listening. Can you tell us a little bit about that? That you know, what does that actually mean, and how does it work?
Okay, well, for the role I'm in within Antwerp Dental Group, it kind of came about from the clinical director and the owner of Antwerp Dental Group actually seeing that there was a need, that there was people in the workforce that really needed support and somewhere to go and talk to someone in a safe space, not particularly their manager or their line manager or a senior clinician or whatever, just something detached from the service. And I had already experienced through working in secondary care, they have peer listening throughout the NHS and hospitals. And it's a wonderful service. I see how well it works. So when the clinical director mentioned this to me, I explained to them what happened in secondary care, you know, and they call it the peer listening service. And he was really quite intrigued with this. And I do a lot of membership at mentorship in Antwerp Dental Group. And it was almost a natural progression because I'm not employed by them. I'm at arm's length from the organization, so I can be that safe space. So people will have a referral to me through one of the exec team. It comes from managers. It can be a self-referral. And they just give a very, very broad overview of what they want to talk about. That comes to me, and it is then detached from anything to do with any of the IT services. I do it from a separate email address so that it's not traceable through the organization. It is totally secure. It's password protected on my end. And I can then contact that person. All of the ones I've done so far have been on the phone, I think. Some people like that because they feel a little bit detached and they don't get so embarrassed because they're talking on the phone. And it's whatever is that person wants from me. I just listen. I listen to what it is they have to say. I've used cognitive behavioral therapy myself. Some of the tools I have, I share with them. I've had a few people where it's more than one call. What I've experienced so far and what I've done, people have got something they want to park and they just want to put it in a safe space and feel like they can move on. And the feedback from the people who've used the service is hugely positive and they've found a benefit. So peer listening can be very rigid and structured, or it can be a little bit more ad hoc. And I tend to see what the person wants to decide how I'm going to approach it with them. Because if they want less structured, they don't have to feel they have to do X, Y, or Z. I've had referrals, and in the end, the person has said, you know what? I don't want to do this. And that's absolutely fine. So I think you have to be quite fluid about it, because it depends on the individual person that's looking to talk to someone or have someone listen. Because it's more about listening than talking to them.
Do you have to have training to be a listener? Are there some specific things that you need to know and kind of ways that you have to behave to do this?
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, as a registered professional, we know about confidentiality and we know about safeguarding. These are things we already have to train in. Now, because I work in the NHS and an acute trust, the requirements we have in that organisation is to undertake the mental health first aid course, which is hugely helpful. We have mentorship and support from a clinical psychologist who is in the trust. There's freedom to speak up guardians within the trust. So all of these things, I think there's a lot of things that there's nothing formal. For example, if you want to set this up yourself, but there's things you can do to help it. So mental health first aid is accessible to anyone. You can go out there and do it. Finding someone to mentor and support you so that you, if you need guidance and support, you have someone there to listen to you if you're worried about something. Safeguarding, understanding that when you speak to someone, you have to say at the beginning, you know, this is a safe space, it's confidential. However, what we need to do is make sure that if there's a safeguarding issue, if someone is in danger, whether it's the person themselves or someone related to them, I have to disclose. And I make that very clear to them. And I'm glad to say it's something I've never had to do. And I hope that will remain that way. But I have to have that understanding. And I would then, because it's part of Antwerp Dental Group, go to the safeguard lead in our organisation and we take it through the policy and procedure there. Practicing calm and maintaining calm yourself. I think mine's a certainly come with age, I think. You get a bit older and wiser, and as the old cliche, I wish I was as wise as I am now when I was in my 30s. But equality, diversity, inclusion is also good because you get to understand, because quite often the protected characteristics in the Equality Act are the sorts of things that people might come and talk to you about. So you need to understand them. Now, NHS England have a wonderful programme called Inclusive Leadership. And it's available to anyone who works in healthcare. It's just about going on, making an account in NHS England and going on there and finding it. And it's a hugely valuable and very, very informative. That's what I have to offer people.
Do you think people in the dental profession understand how valuable it can be? You know, and actually, as part of the same question, you know, can you give some scenarios where peer listening could be really helpful? I mean, I think it's always helpful to show to demonstrate to people exactly what it could potentially do to help somebody.
Absolutely. I mean, there's certainly some who do value it. For example, Raj Wadhwani, the clinical director for Antwerp Dental Group. I mean, Raj has always been inspirational. I've been working connected to his organisation for 13 years, and he always thinks outside the box. He can see the value of these things. Nevertheless, like I said earlier, it's about cultural change. Primary dental care is a very different beast to secondary care, and you know. There are nuances that are just there for primary dental care. But, you know, I think we don't really truly understand, you know, in the bigger picture. I think there's pockets within primary dental care because you can see that from the BDA, you can see it from yourself starting up Canny Dental. But how can we get tap into to the wider profession, you know, to make them realize that you know, peer listening, listen to each other. We do a lot of audit and, you know, sort of peer observation with regards to clinical stuff. We're very good at that. And maybe we need to use the same models, but rather than just looking at the clinical aspects of our work, looking at our mental health, looking at how we're meant to behave in the workplace, what's expected of us. You know, I look at dental nurses and the hours they work. I mean, and I say dental nurses, I'm not saying no one else in the dental team doesn't work long and hard hours, but that's who I'm mostly in contact with. And you know, it's a 40-hour week, you know, and these people are trying to gain work-life balance. And I'll come back to what I said. The dental profession, if we had more part-time workers and understood people what they need to feel well, would be good. So some examples and scenarios that we could use it for: disagreements in the workplace. I've experienced this quite a lot where, and again, this is where people want to park something. Just know they can talk about it, talk about how they feel, talk about maybe if they didn't feel listened to by whoever. But it's about parking it. I think sometimes it's just about parking it somewhere and leaving it there, and it's in a safe space. No one's going to know about it. Because if you go to your manager, it becomes a more formal thing. So people are less likely to want to speak to a manager or someone at work because it doesn't feel so safe. They could be judged for it. Some people don't want to disclose mental health issues because they feel that that will be an issue too. So sometimes having a peer listener, they can say, you know, I suffer from anxiety. I don't want to tell people at work because I'm scared they might think I'm not fit to do my job. So that's a really good scenario because we need to again change the culture that mental health issues are okay. If you say you've got a sore leg, you'll tell someone you've got a sore leg. If you say I'm struggling with my emotions right now, it shouldn't be something that's a problem to say to people. And that's a cultural thing. Complaints by patients is another scenario. Again, they don't want to be seen to be thinking bad about their patient, but they just maybe want in a human way to express whether it's the anger, the frustration in a safe space again. And they won't be judged for it because nobody else is going to know about it. Whereas if you start to give your point across to your manager, it might be, but we have to think about the patient. And we do. The patient is ultimately what we are there to serve and to create a good service for. And some people just achieving work-life balance, finding it hard that, you know, they're short-staffed. And sometimes they just feel that at burnout and they just want someone to talk to. And again, people are frightened that they're seeing that their capabilities in question. And I think culturally, we need to think about, we're questioning people's capability, but are we questioning that fairly if we're short-staffed? Because capability can just be that actually the job's too big. It needs to have more than, say, one receptionist. It needs to be that the dental nurse has got family commitments outside of the workplace, and full-time work is just not something that fits in with our lifestyle. I mean, if you think of the Equality Act, you know, being a carer, you know, we have to think about caring responsibilities aren't just about people with physical disabilities or people with mental health issues, or older people. You know, caring responsibilities comes into having children too. And we need to be aware that we give people that flexibility in their work and don't discriminate against them because they want to work part-time. I think we're doing ourselves a disservice in the profession by not embracing part-time workers. Maybe take a little bit more organisation, but if you get a method in place and actually show that it works. So, for example, I job share because I don't work full time in the trust where I work as a head of health and equalities inclusion. I job share with someone else, and we do the job together, which frees up my time to continue working in my roles within dentistry. It works. I'm a living example that it works, I think. So hopefully those scenarios have helped sort of clarify to people that how it can be used.
Yeah, is there an example of how peer listening has helped you specifically?
I mean, I went to a manager and I said to her, I've got an issue. There was someone, a new colleague came into our team, and she suddenly started treating me very differently. And being older, I've got to a stage where I don't want to make things difficult for another person. But when someone makes it uneasy for you at work and you don't seem to find a reason for this, and I thought, what can I do? So I went to my manager and said, I'm not coming to you as my manager. I'm coming to you as a peer. I want your advice and how I deal with this, because I didn't want to make it formal. So I wanted to do it in an informal way. So I said, how can I work, with a process to get insight into why this person is treating me the way they're treating me? Because I can't find a way, to ask them. I tried to do it in a kind of joking kind of way, an excuse. I said, are you pissed off with me? I hope people accept that turn of phrase. And she went, no, I'm fine. In the end up, it was a total misunderstanding. And what my manager said to me, you don't want to make it formal, just think about the way you feel about it. Find a day that you feel positive and you feel strong, and approach this with someone. I didn't want to go down the formal route. It would have made it very ugly. And I just felt this person was at the beginning of their career and was just learning how to behave. So that advice from my manager as a peer, saying, you've got the experience to be able to approach this in an informal way, and why don't you go try that? So I did. On a day, I just said, do you want to go for a coffee? Difficult conversation, but that empowerment from that peer advice from my colleague to say, you have the experience and you have the work knowledge to approach this from an informal, in an informal way. And that's why I did. And we had a wonderful conversation. It was difficult at parts with this colleague, and we resolved it because it was a misunderstanding, and it was a flippant comment that came from a previous from another colleague that actually made them think that I'd complained about them when I hadn't. But that's it was kind of a strange situation, but it was that having that conversation with my colleague. I'm not going to say manager, because it wasn't a management conversation. It was about, I need your advice. This is my proposal. Do you think this is okay? And she was wonderful, and it empowered me, so I dealt with it myself. So that's a way that it's helped me. And I was so glad that I didn't go down the formal route.
I mean, in your view, does peer listening have to be a formally organized activity that was offered by your place of work or some other organization? Or, can it be the informal chat by the water cooler with somebody, just sharing a thought and opinion?
I think both are valuable, and it kind of depends what it is. So, for example, if someone just really, one thing about it being structured is that you've got that really safe space and you're committing to that confidentiality. When it's by the water cooler type of conversation, people might not feel safe because they're not entirely sure. We know not every human being has integrity. Not every human being can help themselves to go, oh, Mary said this and John said that. And if someone tells me something that I feel is about someone else, I will not then go and repeat that. But I've found through my own experience that not everyone's like that, which is rather a shame, because we all know that someone might let off steam about something. And if they do so, they're trusting you with that information. To breach that confidence is to me, it's not good in so many levels. But that is the difference between it being ad hoc and being structured. There's nothing wrong with those conversations. But it's about being mindful if someone shares that, having the integrity to maintain that confidence and not breach it, but by telling anybody else. That's the disadvantage of the ad hoc, I believe. So I suppose you can see that it's taken that opportunity where you might just feel safe with someone. And if someone's going to approach someone and that maybe saying, this is just an informal conversation, but I need a safe space. So if I tell you something, so maybe to preempt that need for confidentiality, As to say that to someone, if you're going to do that on an ad hoc basis, that's the only thing I would see is a bit challenging, but the ad hoc.
Okay. Thank you for your time talking about peer listening and your kind of wide range of experience. I'll just have one more question as your parting gesture to everybody who listens to this. What advice would you give to people starting a career in the dental profession about ensuring that they look after their mental health?
Okay, I would say care about yourself as much as you care about your patients.
Those are very wise words. Angie, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.